basically.
Yeah.
Open VoIP.
And, of course, that doesn't help you a damn bit.
No, but, I mean, the console works. I'm able to use the console, but it's kind of a one-way screen. In other words, it just goes one direction. Like, you can't go up the screen. You can only go down. And I guess what I mean, there have been sort of attempts to write blindness-specific interfaces on top, but with the lack of, like, a lot of support for it in terms of, like, I don't know anybody that's gotten Plan 9 running with audio. You'd first have to get audio working, and then you'd have to get some sort of a... I don't even know how the compilers are structured in Plan 9. I think because it's such a different OS than Unix, like, everything has to be written for Plan 9, like the shell scripts and the... And the all that have to be... It's not like Unix where you just run it. It's like everything is...
My impression... like I say, I don't know all that much about Plan 9. I haven't really explored it in depth. I've just seen a little bit of the people say, this is really cool, and read a little bit about it to find out why they think it's so cool. My impression is the ideal device for a blind person using Plan 9 would be a Braille touchscreen.
Yes.
A touchscreen with, like, solenoid actuators behind it that could bring up letters or arrow symbols or texture or something you could read with your fingers. And then you could press in the appropriate place.
Yes, but the issue is that it'd be extremely expensive to build. And a lot of those, there have been attempts to make, like, touchscreens like that that are like a Braille display, but, like, with instead of, you know, one line of Braille cells, it would be, like, a screen of dots, and you could, like, draw images and things on it. The problem is the cost for that thing, it would be extremely expensive, and market has to be there for people to get it. I looked at a demo of one, and it looked great, but of course, you know, nobody knew the cost, and it was going to be in the thousands, and it's more like, you know, who's really going to buy it? If you have to have the device, and then you have to have the interface, the software that interfaces with that device.
Yeah, it has to be supported somehow.
Yeah, and then, of course, as other companies come out with their own device, they'd have their own standard, which they would want to put out the door. And so it wouldn't be like a standard, you know, Braille touchscreen interface. It would be this company versus that company, and they'd each fight with each other. And then they need to sue each other for, you know, patent infringement and everything else. I mean, it would be neat to see, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
I mean, if some billionaire decided to drop, you know, $1 billion on one of the, you know, National Federation of the Blind or something, one of the you know, nonprofit organizations, they might be able to make it happen. But other than that, you know, we're probably stuck on that, which is really too bad, I think, because the idea of it is very cool.
Yes. But I get the fact. But again, and then, of course, you also have to have the OS interest. Like with Plan 9, you have to have the people that really do. Is this really worth, you know, investing time in?
Yeah. So, and unless we wind up with, you know, the day of the Triffids and, you know, 100 million blind people suddenly, you know, I don't think it's gonna happen.
No, I don't.
Personally, I'd rather that didn't happen.
Right.
You know, my dad has spent his entire career giving people their sight back. He's an optical engineer, and his specialty is cataract replacement lenses. 30 years now, he's been working for Alcon, which is the world leader in cataract replacement lenses.
My blindness is actually caused, it's retinopathy of prematurity. I was born 3.5 months early, so I can see light, but I can't see objects. So my retinas are the issue, not really my lenses.
Yeah,
my lenses.
I had a friend in elementary school who was, she was blind from birth. She could see light and shadow, but not shapes.
yeah, it was, it's, you know, but then, you know, I always ask people that don't have what's called light perception, meaning they can see light, is it always dark? And they go, no. And I go, well, what is it? And they go, well, as I don't see light, I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, right. It's kind of like, well, it seems strange to me, but light would probably be strange to them. So
I mean, you can't describe light to them or dark any more than I can describe red and green to you.
Right. Well, with colors, I kind of see them as, like, people say grass is green. So when people tell me green, I sort of think of, you know, what grass is. And so, you know, people say, well, the sky is blue. So I sort of, you know, think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I do things. But
so, yeah, you can sort of think of the smell of crushed leaves, maybe.
Right.
You know, and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And I like to use those essential oil diffusers and things with smells and whatever. I'm not really into the TV much. But, I mean, they do have described videos. And a lot of the TV channels now, there's a setting in your set-top box that you can turn on audio description. Unfortunately,
it's a second audio program, yeah.
Yes, that's what it is. And it's useful. Unfortunately, now we're seeing it used for, I think they really need to have a third audio program, because what's happening is we're running into issues where they're using that as a foreign language.
A lot of the programming that uses it for, like, Spanish language or something.
Yes, and even if it is listed in the set-top box as audio description or something of that sort, it's used for other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we really need to come up with some sort of a dedicated, you know, deal where it's for the description. And this way, us blind users don't have to keep turning it on and off, on and off, on and off. And, of course, you don't always know what shows have description and what don't. And so it's a mess.
And then, of course, with so much going now from broadcast to Internet streaming, it's even more complicated. Because, you know, some things have no support of any kind. Some things have some weird auto-generated support that maybe works or maybe doesn't. You know, God knows what you're going to get into. And the interfaces for them all are different from what I can find out.
Yes, and what makes me really mad is when they'll go, well, if you touch the blue wheel and rotate it to the right, you can look, you on the green text, you'll see, you know, turn on audio description. Well, as a blind user, that doesn't
connect.
You know,
I can't fucking
really
see the blue thing.
Right, it's like, oh, that's a really great, really great thing to tell somebody who has no vision, you know, and it's unbelievable. You read that, and I've even looked on some of the forums, you know, the messages on it, and people will say, I'm totally blind. How do I get to the audio description feature? And someone cited will literally come back with that description, and it's like, that doesn't work. Yeah, it's like, oh my God. I guess they don't know what a screen reader is, and so therefore they're trying to be helpful. I get that, but it's more of the fact of, and I find that, like, you know, I get a lot of people are trying to help, which is what I think is important, is to know how a sighted user can get the text labels that a blind user needs, like alt text, for example, on websites. Because a lot of times it's there. Well, no, not always. But it's really weird, because I'm like, oh yeah, it was on, I think it was on Hulu. There was a post on how to enable the audio description, and it was a very visual thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, whoa, this is, and then of course there's different methods for the app and the website and the
there's no consistency in the user interfaces at all.
No, no, no. And they really Open need to. And if you have, we have Dish here. If you have audio description turned on your set-top box, if you go to Hulu, for example, that setting doesn't carry over because that's part of Dish. It's not part of Hulu. So you have to go in and, you know, usually.
It's not like an API that reads settings on your set-top box.
Right, right. And you would think that nowadays there would be some sort of a method where it would send a signal to the system, hey, if the show has audio description, you know, the user's blind, use the audio description, you know, or something like that. And it's really weird how some of these, you know, services, I mean, some of them are getting better. And there are sites that are for the blind that do have audio describe, like just the audios of the movies with the descriptions, which are nice, which I prefer. But of course, a lot of these video sharing services, I don't think understand that the blind don't care about the picture.
Right.
And yeah, and so it's really weird. And so finding shows, you know, Amazon is getting okay with it, with putting audio descriptions. Some of them are done with text-to-speech engines, so they're not the greatest, but at least they exist. My view is at least they exist, and so you know what's happening.
And yeah, they audio description should first and foremost try to describe the action, not tell you what color the paint is in the scene.
Right. Right. And sometimes they describe way too much, and sometimes they describe way too little.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think there should be. And back when video cassettes were a thing, what I would often want to do is get the cited version of the film that is without the audio description.
Mm-hmm.
And then get the, because they say they don't talk over the movie dialogue, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes listening to both, like back to back, you get like, oh, that's why he did this. That's why this occurred. That's why, because you hear things that you don't when the narrator's talking, describing what's happening.
But it's the same way that when I with my Japanese animation fandom, I like to watch a show once with English subtitles and then once in Japanese without the subtitles.
In Japanese,
because
right.
The subtitles are distracting.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah.
Well, I am coming up on the 5-hour limit for Tubnik streams here,
oh.
So I have to ring off so that I can end my stream. Anyway, but I hope the reading was interesting for you.
Yes, yes, it was. And, you know, I think open mic is coming up in a little bit.
Mm-hmm, yeah, about 15 minutes.
Okay, all right. I'll just stay on here in case somebody else comes on.
All right, bye-bye then.
Bye-bye. And then get the, because they say they don't talk over the movie dialogue, but they do. Sometimes listening to both, like back to back, you get the, like, oh, that's why he did this. That's why this occurred. That's why, because you hear things that you don't when the narrator's talking, describing you what's happening.
Please wait.
Okay. And
open VoIP 929-299-1269.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay, I'm going to put this phone down a minute. And let me...
Publius has left the group chat. Publius has entered the group chat.
Okay, we are done, I think. I don't know. Oh, wow. 929-299-1269 is the number for Open VoIP. Let me, this is Nick G talking. Let's just see what happens here. I don't know what's happening at the moment, but maybe if I, it would help if I went over and put this phone down. This is the Google Pixel 5. And I'm going to go into here with Tom, T-O-M. And I'm going to hit G. And type in N on radio, that's eSpeak you're hearing, and hit enter. Oh, okay, here we go. We are here, and I halted the speech. And I will see what happens here. Hold on. I want to make sure that, okay, I guess open mic is next. Let me real quick here. Go to the top of the page. I'm going to let this sit here and what we get here. My Google Pixel, for some reason, talking about call quality. I don't know why. Let me move this phone here. I'm going to just put this by my speaker that is connected to my Talking Book Player, my Vic Reader Press. From humanware.com. It is a MP3 player. It does a lot of blindness specific formats, and it also has GPS. Let me move this phone here. I'm going to just put this I think that if we continue, I like OpenVoip. It's an MP3 player. It does a lot of things.
OpenVoip.
I'm not going to do much with it. We're going to see the game where it comes. And if we need to go back from the way, I want to just do this and talk here.
I like
OpenVoip. This is Nick to you. Wanted to see what happens here.
I'm not going to see
okay. Okay. We are getting people joining. And again, I don't know why voice thing is talking. The comment is so loud. I push that button. I don't think it matters. Because it's still coming through the phone system. I think that we are almost done with OpenVoip. I don't know how long we have left, but we will see. Okay, people are saying, hey, on the comm here. And I will say,
I think that we are almost done with OpenVoip. I don't know how long we have left, but
I like that reading.
Okay, people are so good.
Yeah, it was a nice book.
And
I will say, let me real quick. Just see what we got going here. I don't know how long we have. I don't think we have long to open mic. But it would be nice to, I don't know. We'll see what happens at open mic. Open mic is usually an interesting time. But let me, let's see here. I'm just trying to figure out how long we have left on OpenVoip. I don't know how long we have left. But we should have some time left on there. I don't know how long, but we have enough. How long do we have left on OpenVoip? And we will see here. Can't be that long. I think it's mainly an hour, but I think sometimes it does go over an hour. I don't know.
How long do we have left on
Okay, 7 minutes. Okay, they said 7 minutes. All right, that's fine. We don't have much time left, so there's no point in me doing much of anything.
I think it's mainly an hour, but I think sometimes
it looks as if you're stuck with me for the next 7 minutes, which is fine. Anyway.
Okay, 7 minutes. Okay.
7 minutes. Okay, we got 7 minutes. Let me just literally grab my phone. Okay, maybe if I hold on. Okay, we got those 7 minutes. There's not much room to talk about. We'll see if anybody else joins. I don't know. Sometimes it gets extended for some reason. I don't know why or how, but I noticed that. Open mic is good. Okay, maybe if I hold on. Okay, we got I guess I don't know. Open mic is nice. I think. Open mic is fun. I like open mic. Open mic is nice because you get to hear a lot of people.
I don't know.
Open mic. we get some interesting things done.
I guess I don't know.
Open VoIP 929-299-1269.
Okay. Yes, the plan is to come back next week and tell the book is closed down, I guess, till the book is read. I like that.
Can be the DJ's SDF open mic. Get on the mic. We
will see what happens here. I hope
get on the mic.
That, okay, I heard.